Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 22. Sataya Sharya Yuktas
Sataya Sharya Yuktas
Tasyaranam
Ihate
Tasyaranam Ihate Labhate Chadita Kaman
Labhate Chadita Kaman
Maya Vavitan Hitan Sa
Hi
Taya
with that
Sharaya
inspiration
Yukta, endowed,
Tasya,
of that demigod,
Araranam,
for the worship,
Ihate,
he inspires,
Labhate,
obtains,
Cha,
and
Tata,
from that,
Kaman,
his desires.
Maya,
by me,
Eva,
alone,
Vihitan,
arranged,
he,
certainly,
tan,
those. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. In actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. Purport. The demigods cannot award benedictions to their devotees without the permission of the Supreme Lord. The living entity may forget that everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, but the demigods do not forget. So the worship of demigods and achievement of desired results are not due to the demigods, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by arrangement. The less intelligent living entity does not know this, therefore he foolishly goes to the demigods for some benefit. But the pure devotee, when in need of something, prays only to the Supreme Lord. Asking for material benefit, however, is not the sign of a pure devotee. The living entity goes to the demigods usually because he is mad to fulfill his lust. This happens when something is undue is desired by the living entity, and the Lord himself does not fulfill the desire. Chaitanya Charitamrita has said that one who worships the Supreme Lord at the same time desires material enjoyment is contradictory in his desires. Devotional service to the Supreme Lord and the worship of a demigod cannot be on the same level. His worship of a demigod is material and devotional service, the Supreme Lord is completely spiritual. The living entity desires to return to Godhead, material desires are impediments. Pure devotee to the Lord is therefore not awarded the material benefits desired by the less intelligent living entities, who therefore prefer to worship demigods of the material world rather than engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. Sataya Sharya Yuktas Tasyarami Ihate Lavate Chatita Kaman Maya Vaitan Hitan. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod, attains his desires. In actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. Practically speaking, most of us aren't worshiping demigods. In fact, I think we probably believe in Krishna more than we believe in the demigods. And therefore, when we recite the offenses, that the second offense, that not to believe that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu, we don't have a problem with that. Because we don't believe in Lord Shiva, we don't believe in Shiva and Brahma, we hardly believe in Krishna. So who has the best name? We couldn't care less. But most of the time we're chanting Krishna's name because it fits into, we have the melodies for those chanting. And we don't believe in Brahma and Shiva. I mean, it's not that we don't believe in Krishna, it's just that we don't have so much experience with what actual Krishna consciousness is. And we have no experience with Brahma and Shiva. So obviously we're going to prefer Krishna over Brahma and Shiva. And whatever faith we have, it doesn't seem like worshipping Brahma and Shiva is going to give us very much what we're at, if we're interested in eternity, bliss, and knowledge, we don't see what they're going to give us. And we don't even believe they're going to give us anything material either. No one takes, you know, doesn't get a job in our movement and stays at home worshiping Brahma and Shiva and hoping to get rich. He died, he starved to death, but in his, before he died, he was worshiping, he had an incense, he had on his altar, he had Brahma. He was hoping that sooner or later Brahma would reciprocate. It just didn't happen. But there is a process of worshiping Brahma and Shiva or the other demigods. And we can see that in one sense, there may be an elaborate Vedic rituals to worship them, but we can see Rikasura, he worshiped Lord Shiva by cutting flesh from his own body and throwing it into the fire. I don't think we're prepared to do that. And then he was going to cut off his own head, so he washed himself, he bathed himself before sacrificing an animal, we should know, in case you're planning on sacrificing an animal. At first you have to bathe the animal. So you can note that down, if you're taking notes. And then you offer the animal. So he bathed nicely, and then he was holding his hair, and then he had his head over the fire, and he was going to cut off his head, swaha, and throw it into the fire. But then Lord Shiva appeared from the fire, and he touched Rikasura's body, and he healed all the wounds. Now you can try it. I can't guarantee Lord Shiva's going to appear. If you do, you'll be very fortunate. If not, better luck next time. In that case, that worship of Lord Shiva was quite ghastly, but he got a result. Of course, the result was ultimately he touched his own head and it cracked into thousands of pieces. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu worshiped Lord Brahma, and he fasted for 120 years of the demigods. He didn't eat, and after the insects and moths ate his body, they also ate his lungs, so he had nothing to breathe with. He had no brains left. Otherwise, how can he have executed in such an austerity if he had any brains? So the insects ate all his brains. All he was living in his bones. And he became very powerful, but we can't do that, obviously. And that was his worship of Lord Brahma. On the other hand, we see Priyavrata worship the demigods in Treta Yuga, between Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, and following some kind of process of worshiping the demigods in order to achieve the planet of Urvasi. But we're not capable. We can, you know, we have a fire sacrifice. Sometimes the priest has a hard time even lighting the fire. What to speak of chanting Vedic mantras. And the other things, cutting flesh and fasting for 120 years of the demigods, it's really outside of our realm, worship demigods. You go to sometimes you go to Indians, devotee, or Indian people's houses, and they have an altar, and on the altar is like 32 million demigods. Just in case one of them happens to be supreme. They don't want to take a gamble. It's like if you want to win the jackpot and you have 32 million coins, you throw them all in, eventually you get something back. But for ourselves, basically the understanding is if we want something legitimate, and that's possible, it said that Bharat Maharaj, he also worshipped the demigods, but he worshipped them in relationship to Lord Krishna. He didn't see them as separate devotees. He saw them as devotees of Krishna, and that way he worshipped them. Just like we have Vaishnava Yata Shambhu, that Lord Shiva is the greatest of the demigods, of the devotees, of the Vaishnavas. So in that way we can worship Lord Shiva as a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. But if we worship him in order to attain something material, neither Lord Shiva nor Krishna nor anyone is really going to appreciate that very much. Nor do we necessarily get any result. But generally, I had one former disciple who was very much enthused to worship. He still goes by the same name, but he was very much enthused to worship Lord Shiva. And indeed, he became a multimillionaire doing so.
What is that?
he's really quite wealthy. Polish. No, he built a temple right next to our temple in Poland, in the forum. And it's more opulent than our temple. It's really great. And then he built a guest house. It's like super opulent. Bought all the land in the area. So it did, seems to work. But I wouldn't want to be in his position. Because you gain a lot of material wealth, but then you get the karmic reactions for it also. Not that you're not free from the karmic. You're thinking, this is mine. Lord Shiva gave it to me. But Lord Shiva probably didn't inquire from Lord Vishnu whether you should give it to him or not. He's just Ashutosh. And therefore you'll get the karmic reactions, whatever you acquire. So you may be very wealthy in this lifetime, and in your next lifetime you may be very poor if you don't utilize your resources properly and give a lot in charity. In any case, it may work, it may not work, but you won't get any spiritual result from such activity. And not only that, but when, as it says here, we should understand that Krishna is in everyone's heart, and that whatever we get is an arrangement by Krishna. Now, worship with the demigods to get some material wealth is considered avidhi purvaka. You weren't supposed to get that wealth in this lifetime, but you asked the demigods, so they supplied it. So now you've gotten it, but now you have to pay back the karmic reaction for it. And since you got it without being qualified for it, it's very likely you're going to misuse it and get a very bad reaction for it. So you may imagine you're gaining something, but you're actually just ultimately, in the long run, you're just gaining some more karma. On the other hand, if you want something, you ask Krishna for it, he may or may not give it to you. Just like Vrikasura, who was advised by Narayana Muni, don't go to Vishnu because he won't give you your benediction. Better to go to Shiva because he just doesn't want to be bothered giving out benedictions. He just gives them out freely because he doesn't want to get bothered by it. So we go to Vishnu, Krishna, and we praise for something. If it's devotional, he may give it. And if it's non-devotional, he won't give it. So then we may think, well, Krishna is useless. It's like a child tells his father, my dear father, I want to stick my finger into the fan. And the father says, don't do it. And the child says, no, I want to do it. So the father says, all right. So he slows the fan down. And then until it's hardly moving, he says, all right, now put your finger in there. And he puts his finger in there and gets in his mouth. Then he puts the fan up again. Do you want to do it again? No, no, don't. So Krishna may do like that, give a partial benediction. But in such ways, you'll never ask for the benediction again. You'll think, what did I ever ask this for? On the other hand, if you go to the demigod, he says, sure, I'll help. You put your finger in the fan. Wow. I just got my finger cut off. Oh, sorry. You asked for it. I was here just to serve you. Therefore, it's better to stick with Krishna because Krishna knows what we actually need, what we don't need. He may give us what we request, he may not. Actually, the whole world is praying to Krishna at every moment. Everyone is, our prayers are our desires. The desires, especially the ones we become attached to. And that's Krishna's the super soul in our heart. He's noting down what we're thinking about, what we're feeling about, what we're willing to do. And he's arranging the material nature accordingly. So So everything in this world is simply a prayer to Krishna. Everything is a desire, because that's all we can do is desire here. And if we dovetail the desires with spiritual desires, then we get a spiritual result. And if we dovetail it with a material desire, either in the modes of goodness or compassion or ignorance, then we get the according desire result. So outside of desiring in terms of Krishna consciousness, one will simply get a desire result either in the platform of liberation for Brahman realization, or somewhere in the modes of nature. That's the way it works. And whether you pray to the demigods or you just or not, everything is a prayer apparently to the demigods, but everything ultimately is a prayer to Krishna. But if you want something special, then Krishna gives the intelligence in the Vedas which demigod to pray to, because they're more powerful than we are. And they can, just like if you want to make $1 million quick, you want to beg it from someone, then you have to find out who has $1 million you can beg from. Just like immediately Ananda wanted the address. Now I have other disciples, they need a donation. But Ananda probably wouldn't be interested in getting their address. So you want to find out who has wealth, and you find out from the Vedas. If you go to Lord Shiva, he can easily give you, if you desire, then if you have the intelligence to go to Lord Shiva, then he can easily reciprocate with you if he wants to. Therefore the Vedas are there to tell us how to dovetail our desires, get what we want. But ultimately they advise us not to dovetail our desires with anything but Krishna consciousness. Otherwise we'll just get ourselves somehow or another into trouble. It's not that we're not in enough trouble already. We'll just get ourselves into more trouble. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So when we hit our finger on a fan, usually what we do is our faith decreases to some amount. And what should we do to increase our faith instead, to come out more devoted to Krishna?
Well, if we follow Krishna's instructions as he tells us, then Krishna will reciprocate that. If we do what's necessary to come under the spiritual energy, then we'll come under the spiritual energy. If you want to meet Narada Muni, then find out where his footsteps are and just follow the footsteps and eventually get to Narada Muni. So find out what's the process and what's applicable to oneself under these circumstances and follow it. Just like it's quite simple in this age. Everything is revolving around hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, serving him. So we do that, and we learn how to do it with care and attention, then gradually Krishna will reciprocate and we'll become Krishna conscious. Is that right? The more complicated we make it, the more we become deviated from how simple it really is. Anything else? Yes.
I had a question in terms of acquiring wealth, and sometimes devotees, you know, they would be in a position of a householder, but they would decide not to go and, for example, get a job, or they would be, I don't know, get a job seeker allowance or live on benefits. What's kind of the position of us viewing that?
Well, I guess it would matter how do we view them, or how should they view themselves, or what? Well, it depends if they develop Krishna consciousness or not. If they actually become, if they engage all their energies in Krishna service, then they'll become Krishna conscious. It's not the end of life. Krishna says, "Oh, you're fully Krishna conscious, but you know, unfortunately, you got too much of a donation from the state, so." I think you have to come back and pay it back. I'll check my bank account. Maybe I can help you. It depends how Krishna conscious you become. In one sense, the state is supposed to support the Brahmins. They're supposed to give in charity to the province. They're not giving, you know, but they don't do that. So it's not bad. But if you take from the state and you don't become Krishna conscious, you don't act as a Brahmin, the state aren't supposed to support sutras. They'll get a reaction for it. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.